be Steve and everyone else. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here again and to share some of what God has been sharing with me, with you. This is a great passage which reminds us of who we are in Christ and the amazing thing that God has done for us. In the midst of our struggles and difficulties, we have a God who loves us and cares for us. He looks after us and he understands us. We have an amazing hope. We can look forward to a bright future in Christ because we are the children of God. My primary focus today is verse 15. It says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." First, we are reminded that we are not slaves but children. In the story of the prodigal son, there are two sons. One son leaves home with a huge amount of his father's wealth and wastes the money until he has nothing left. He has nothing to show for it, no home, no career, no hope, no future. The other son stays at home, working his fingers to the bone. He works so hard that he forgets he is a son and sees himself as a slave. Both sons failed to recognize the value of their inheritance. The true value was not just the financial wealth that was squandered by the youngest son when he left home. Neither was it the financial wealth the oldest son was working so hard to accumulate. The father in the story has to remind both of the sons of his love for them both. He is their father, and they are his sons. He loves and values them both highly. The father in the story is rich, generous, and loving. We have a heavenly father who loves us very much. There is work to do, yes, of course, but let us not forget that our heavenly father loves us. We are not his slaves, but we are his children, who he dearly loves. When the Bible refers to us as children, we need to see ourselves not as young infants, but we need to see ourselves as young men and women in Christ who are learning our Father's trade or our Father's work. Our Father is training us. We are following Jesus. We are his disciples or apprentices, if you like. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Can you imagine for a moment Jesus working as a carpenter, working with his earthly Father? He would have to learn to build walls and roofs and doors and chairs and tables. His Father would have shown him how to cut, fix, nail, and join wood. Jesus would have watched his Father doing these things. Jesus would have worked alongside his Father. His Father would have taught him to be a carpenter. This is the picture of work we have with our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus isn't talking about his carpentry skills. He didn't show the disciples how to be carpenters. He showed them how to work in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus trained his disciples, and he sent them out to do the same things as he did. They didn't always get it right, and sometimes they made mistakes. However, the disciples didn't let the fear of failure get in the way of becoming like Jesus. Jesus taught them, he trusted them, and Jesus used the difficulties and the failures as opportunities to teach, train, and encourage his disciples. The kingdom of heaven isn't a large corporation where you are merely a cog in a giant machine. The kingdom is a family business. We are all working for God and sons, if you like, trading since the world began. But our life in Christ is much more than just work. We have been given a measure of authority, and now we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who has shown us his loving grace and mercy. So moving on, let's look at fear and authority. In the parable of the talents, three people were given different amounts of money. The amount is not important. What is important is what was done with the money. Two of the people invested the money. They put the money to work and the money increased. However, one person was too afraid to do anything. If you have managed staff or finances, if you have run your own business, you will know that there are no perfect answers in how to put money, staff, or time to good use. There are limits to the number of staff. There are limits to the amount of hours that they work. There is a need to keep within a budget, and your own time and your own abilities at work are limited. As a boss, you would have to employ people with the skills and the time that you don't have. Looking after yourself and your family is similar to running a business. All of us have to make decisions on how we spend our time and our money. We have choices to make and we take risks. The world we live in is complex, so the decisions we make can be really difficult. However, we should not be afraid of making these decisions, and we can seek help and advice. It is perhaps easy, therefore, to see why a person might be fearful of taking on responsibilities. And it is interesting to note that in the parable of the prodigal son, both sons failed to use the authority their father had given them. One son left home, and the other considered himself a servant or a slave. The one who returned home asked to be a servant or slave. Both sons had to be reminded by their father that they were his sons. Likewise, we need to exercise the authority that we have been given, but we must also recognize the authority that God has given to others. Parents, teachers, managers, MPs, business leaders, all of these have been put in charge of different things according to God's plans and purposes. Paul says later in Romans, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Paul explains in how authority works in Romans 13. It's there for our protection. Authority correctly exercised creates rule and order and stability and peace. As children of God, as trainees in his workplace, we have received some of that authority and we are encouraged to exercise that authority. However, with authority, we also have submission and obedience. And not everyone accepts the authority of God or of the leaders that he has placed into positions of power and authority. There is a righteous fear that authority can bring. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." We were enemies of God, and we were in danger of going to hell. But thanks to Jesus, that fear has gone, and we are now children of God. The fear of punishment is no longer there. We were slaves to sin, but we have been freed by Christ. We do not need to live in fear again. At the beginning of the Bible, we see the authority of God being questioned by Satan. Fake news is nothing new. Adam and Eve were both taken in by Satan's lies, deceit, and trickery. It is no different today. There are many today who seek to steal and rob us of the truth. Fear is often used to persuade us to do something we shouldn't. It is easy to think of ourselves as wise or clever, but every single one of us can easily be deceived. Think about optical illusions and the way that straight lines can appear to bend. Or how about magicians and the tricks they do? These things are fun. They amuse us and they entertain us. But this is not always the case. How about the imposter who rings you up pretending to be your bank? Or pretending to be your phone company? What about the adverts we watch on television? The news that we watch? The newspapers that we read? The estate agent? The salesperson who tries to sell us something? Our friends? Social media? There are many people who inform us and teach us, and can lead us astray. All of us are lied to on a daily basis. The lies are often mixed with a little bit of truth to help us swallow them. And one of the key drivers is often fear. People usually like to use fear to convince us and to push us into doing something that we shouldn't. However, we have been given the Holy Spirit, and we have been given authority and power. In Corinthians, Paul says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." All of us have been given a measure of authority. We have been given many gifts, resources, and abilities. How are we going to use them? It's not an easy task. There are three things which can help. They are prayer, prayer, and prayer. First, we can pray. We can pray at home, in the car, while walking the dog, while shopping, or on the way to work. We can pray anywhere we want to, and whenever we want to. Second, we can pray together. God has placed us in a family which we call church. We can pray with each other, we can teach one another, we can encourage one another, and we can help one another. Thirdly, the Spirit prays. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us strength and wisdom. The Holy Spirit prays on our behalf, interceding for us with groans. In this passage we are looking at in Romans, Paul is telling us that the Holy Spirit and creation and us, we are all in labor together. We are giving birth to something new. It is painful while we wait, and is getting more and more painful as the time approaches. When Jesus talked about the end of the world, he talked about labor pains too. Giving birth to a child is painful and intense, and the pain continues to grow right up until the baby is born. Paul is very much aware of the suffering that we currently experience. He is aware of the suffering within the world. He is aware of the battles we face and the struggles that we endure. Paul encourages us not to be afraid or fearful. We must not be fearful of the events or circumstances that surround us. God is with us. God loves us. We have a Heavenly Father who weeps with us, who rejoices with us. He works with us and he loves us. one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. It's not just for Christmas. It means God is with us. He's with us through the year and through the day, and when we're awake and when we're sleeping. And when we're going through all of those difficulties and trials that Paul mentions at the end of that passage, nakedness and persecution and famine, Jesus came down from heaven to earth, and he suffered with us here on earth. But now he is in heaven where he has ascended. He is in heaven and he is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Jesus is in heaven right now, praying for us on our behalf to his Father. Jesus reminded us not to worry about anything at all. Perhaps next time when you read that passage, you might want to add some of your own fears, some of the things that you struggle with. Paul says here in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The father in the story of the prodigal sons made sure that both sons knew they weren't to be slaves or servants. And he says at the end of the story to the older son, you are with me, and everything I have is yours. Conclusion then, before we were Christians, we were enemies of God and we lived in fear of many things. We need to remember today that we should not be anxious and we should not worry too much. We need to be careful of any fears that direct us. We need to ensure that they are godly fears, that they are good fears, that they come from righteous authority that is leading and guiding us into the goodness that God has for us. Finally, we need to remember our place. We are not slaves or servants, but we are children of God. We are part of a family. We have a heavenly Father who loves us. Jesus is our elder brother. He has given us the Holy Spirit so that he can be with us. He helps us, and he is training us. In the same way that Jesus was trained by his Father, he is now training us. We are working with Jesus in the kingdom of God. We are working for our heavenly Father, who calls us his sons and daughters. And he has given us his Holy Spirit with power and authority so that we can carry out the work that he has called us to do. I will end now by reminding us of verse 15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry,